makes the lame man, and he calls the blind to see. My God makes the broken and makes them whole.
Oh, receive a blessing from you and me. Pray that if anyone here today is not saved, they will take pride in what we're doing. Pray for this offering we're about to take. Pray that you will use it to thus build in your kingdom.
As a little girl, I used to have what pediatricians and researchers, I guess, now call night terrors. I'd awake in the night, my heart pounding out of my chest, just frightened out of my skin. And I would get up and quietly make my way to my parents' bedroom. And I knew not to go to my mother's side of the bed because she sent me packing back to my room. I'd go quietly around the bed where I knew where my father was sleeping. I didn't have to say a word. He would sense my presence. And he would open his arms and take me into his arms, and I would sleep there, nestled, enveloped in his arms. And I would lay there until the sound of my pounding heart would subside. And you know, my father's in heaven now, but I still have times when I'm afraid. And I have a Savior that I run to. And the psalmist put it this way: He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust.
Amen.
And we are sheltered in the arms of God.
Amen.
Sheltered in the arms of God. Come home, my child. It's the last mile you must draw. Then I'll fall asleep and wake in God's new heaven. Sheltered safe within the arms of God. So let the storms rage high, the dark clouds rise. They don't worry me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God. And not a word harm me. For I'm sheltered in the arms of God. Yes, I'm sheltered in the arms.
Speaks this morning, we're going to have a special prayer time for our children, teachers, and other attorneys.
Let me ask all students, if you would just come up here and stand up front for just a minute. This weekend, while they're coming, this weekend is the weekend of prayer over Tennessee students. And so we want to take a minute and just pray for our students as we're beginning the new school year. We're excited to be starting back, and we're excited to have these young people are here with us, and we want to take a minute to pray for them, to pray that they'll have a safe school year and a blessed school year. We want to remember them. Folks, they face things today in the hallways of the school that we never faced.
That's right.
That I never faced. So we want to pray for them, that the Lord will just watch over and take care of them and guide them, keep them from temptation, bless them this year. And we want to pray for them to have a wonderful school year. And these events are taking place all over the state of Tennessee all weekend. We had one in Greene County yesterday for our students, and there's some going on in schools today. And so we wanted to take an opportunity just to pray for these students. Parents, if you want to come, and anyone else that wants to come and pray with these folks, you all can come on up, and we're going to have a word of prayer in just a moment. If anybody else wants to come, we'll invite you to come at this time. Praise the Lord. We're thankful for our students. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the privilege of prayer, for the privilege to come on behalf of these students, Lord, as we're beginning a new school year. Lord, we just ask that you would be with them. Lord, we just ask that you would just guide their steps in their building. Lord, we ask that you'd watch over and keep them safe. Lord, we've never seen times when it was dangerous like it is now for a student to go into the school, but Lord, we just ask that you would place your hand of protection on these students as they are in their school buildings each and every day. Lord, we just ask that you'd be with them as they face temptation, Lord. We pray that you would just help them to follow the teachings the way that they've been raised and the way that we've taught them here, that they would do things that are pleasing to you. We just ask you to give them a blessed school year, that you'd be with them as they learn. We ask you to be with their teachers as they're guiding them, Lord. We just ask that you just bless in those schoolhouses of each one of these children that are represented. And we ask you to bless our students all over the state of Tennessee as we're remembering them this morning, Lord. We ask you to watch over and keep those teachers safe as they're teaching those students, Lord. And we just ask that you'd help us all to have a wonderful school year this year. We thank you and praise you for these students that we have here at Boone's Creek Baptist Church. We ask that you just continue to bless all of them in Children's Church and all those that teach them in Sunday school, and we just ask you to continue to bless their families for bringing them and having them here in church, raising them up, training them up to follow you, Lord. And we know that if we train them up, that they won't depart from that training that we're giving them here. We thank you for all those that have committed themselves to being a part of that training, Lord. And again, we just thank you and praise you for all that you've done for us, for all that you're going to do. We again ask that you bless these students this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.
Good to see you this morning. Thank you for your prayers during the week. We're over at Harmony Baptist Church in Elizabethton for revival last Sunday evening. Brother Reese Harris filled the pulpit, and Wednesday night prayed, I believe. And we appreciate you. Had two young ladies. 10, 11 years old, were saved in camp this summer, came and presented themselves on different nights for believers' baptism, and so we had two baptized after we were through, and had several rededications and moving of the Lord. And lady frightened me to death over there. She come running up, and I said, I saw you on the computer, preaching on the computer. I said, you didn't see me. She said, yes, I did. And I said, no, you didn't see me. She said, I swear to you, preacher. She said, you were at Moon Creek Baptist Church, and I didn't even know they were filming. That's scary. Well, our hearts goes out to the Faith family. I just think it speaks mountains about the way Bud raised his family for Elaine to be here on Sunday morning. My heart goes out to you guys, and pray for them this afternoon. It's going to be a long, by the way, kind of keep a watchful eye behind you, and if the line begins to get really, really long, and I expect it to do that, keep the line moving. You'll have plenty of time to come back and talk to them later and share stories with them and stuff. But I expect it to be a very, very long line. And this is going to be especially hard on Miss Helen. And so pray for the whole family, but especially Miss Helen. Okay? It's good to have the children up here. Greatest natural resource we have in the world is our children. It's not gold, it's not silver, it's not plutonium, it's our children.
That's right.
For that's the world of tomorrow, the church of tomorrow, that's the community of tomorrow. So pray for our children as they go back to school. And I guess it would be all right to say, pray for the teachers also. They've been off all summer, and it's going to take just a little bit of redirecting to get them back in the mode of study and homework and that sort of thing. So pray for our children. If you have your Bibles, and I know you do, our text this morning is from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. While you're turning, it's a beautiful Sunday school lesson this morning. I salute our ladies, and what a job they do, have done, continue to do in our home. Matter of fact, most homes wouldn't be a home without mom. And they just have it. There's two offices. God created man and woman. And he put a man's heart in a man and a woman's heart in a woman. And my soul everybody's trying to figure out one another. It's not for you to figure out, it's to love and appreciate one another.
Right.
And one elder was standing out on the beach at Los Angeles. And he was walking along, just kind of kicking the sand around, up in his 80s. And he kicked in the sand and his toe hits the pin. It was one of those old Advent lamps, and he picked it up and he looked it over, and man, it was tarnished, rusty, and he kind of got the rubbing on it. And after a few rubs on it, an old moth-eaten mildew gene slowly came out of the sack. And the genie said to him, you know, usually, when you find one of these Aladdin lamps, you get three wishes. But I've been in there 1,000 years or better. Haven't been out. All I can do is one wish. That's all you get, one wish. So be careful. Think about it. And he said, I don't have to think about it. I've lived here in Los Angeles all my life. I've wanted to see Hawaii. I'm scared to death of water, and I won't get on a ship. And I'm equally afraid to fly, and I'm not getting on an airplane. So what I want is a highway built from here to Hawaii so I can see diamonds. The genie said, do you have any idea how far it is from here to Hawaii? He said, yes, I do. He said, well, I've been in that land so long, I just don't think I can do that for you. Have you got another wish? And he pondered for a few moments and thought. He said, well, I'm well into my 80s, been married over 60. Been with the same woman for 60 years. Been trying to figure her out for 60 years. I'd like for you to fix my mind until I understand women. And the genie said, do you want 2 lanes or 4 lanes? So quit trying to figure them out. Love them. And appreciate them. Amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bible open to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, those of you that are able, I understand many of you because of physical impairments, you can't. But if you can, stand for reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to look in verses 19 and 20 and then pray. Chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, verse 19. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray. Master, thank you for the privilege. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the pulpit I stand in that was guarded and protected by a faithful servant.
Yes.
By the name of Bud.
Yes.
Preach the gospel. Love to preach the word. And he's made it home. He's in your presence now. And we just pray for his family again this morning. Pray for his friends. Many, many have come to know the Lord Jesus through his ministry. Many of them are here this morning, testify to that fact. We just ask you again now to bless the family. But Lord, most of all, we pray for this service. Bathe it in the sweet Holy Spirit. May Lord Jesus, this be a day that brings great glory to the cause of Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As I pass along the roads of life, I'm intrigued by signs that I see erected along the road. Oftentimes, on a busy schedule, going here to there and back and forth, oftentimes pastors and business people find themselves in the need to eat a meal out on the road. Oftentimes, it's with just simple pleasure that we go in and find a meal worth partaking of. Oftentimes, the result is much different. You go in and order a meal, and it's your great disappointment. You find that there's not a thing on the plate that was meant for human consumption.
Right.
You salt it. You ketchup it. K-Ro syrup, if it's ready. To try to get it down with no avail. And you sort of make yourself a promise as you ease along the road. With the Lord's help, I'll never stop there again.
Right.
But after a few months or a year or two, you drive along the same stretch of road, and there it is, a sign out alongside the road that declares this: open under new management. And you think to yourself, I'm going to drive. There's no way it can be as bad as it was under the old manager. And you pull in, order a meal, and find that all they had changed was management. The cook was still there. I would like for some of you fellows who are much smarter than me, we need to develop a lapel pin that announces to the world, open under new manager.
Yeah.
Right. Amen?
Amen.
I think that'd be a good lapel pin, don't you?
Amen.
We need to let the world know that we're now open under new management. Now, Paul, as he's writing to the church at Corinth, and bless their hearts, they had some problems. Don't do it now, but you can go back later. And chapter 5 deals with probably one of the most heinous problems in the church. They had a man who had probably, we're praying that direction anyway, there was a man who was in the church, who was a member of the church, who was participating in the church, who now had his, we're hoping it was his stepmom, we're hoping that he had taken his dad's new wife. If it wasn't, it's more heinous than we think, because he was now living with his father's wife, cohabitating with his father's wife. So it was either a stepmom or a mom. And of the two, I hope it was a stepmom. Amen?
Uh-huh.
Because it really gets deep. And so Paul has gotten a letter from the church at Corinth, and he addresses this problem. Now, folks, these days, we rarely rebuke sin in the church.
Amen.
We are scared to death that we are going to... We've become just as politically correct as the world.
That's true.
You know, we've got to protect all parties involved. Let me tell you something. Paul didn't do a rain dance without this.
No, he didn't.
Right. He went right to the heart of it. He said, fellas, you've got to get this fellow out. And he gives a reason. He gives a reason. He said, that we might destroy, we might deliver his flesh to Satan to be destroyed, that his soul might be saved.
Amen. That's what he said.
And so, Paul didn't dance around the idea that sin had to be dealt with. He just came right up. He didn't leave it alone. He just came right up to it and faced it and told them. And then look back in verse 18, right above our text. And most of us read this as calmly as if we were reading a first grade reading. Jack went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Listen, the Bible is a book of excitement.
Amen.
Let me ask you something. If I come running through the door, and by the way, if you see me running, you can rest assured it's an emergency. I told my doctor not too long ago, and he wasn't happy with me. He said, you need to exercise and run more. I said, my Bible says it doesn't profit a man very much at all to do that. He didn't like that.
No.
He said, did it say you died young? No, but he said I was going to die ugly. Listen, if I came running through that door, eyes big, and my eyes almost standing out on a stem, and I said to you, I don't have time to tell you where he was born, on what continent, and how big his mane is, and how big his foot is. I don't have time to tell you how long his teeth are. I just come running through the door and I explain to you why. Folks, you better be finding a safe haven.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Now listen to what Paul is saying in chapter 6, verse 18. Here's the way he says it. Flee fornication. I mean, he's excited about this thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's something that's troubling the church. It's going to cause the great ship of Zion to run aground.
That's true.
And so he's saying, flee fornication. And every sin that a man doth, that is without the body, but he committeth fornication, sins against his own body.
Amen.
What? What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? It's not a shame, listen, it's not a shame to be rebuked. It really isn't. It's a shame to commit the sin in the first place.
Right.
Amen. There's the shame. It's not to be rebuked. That just means you've been caught.
Yeah.
There's people this morning, I guarantee you, I haven't been over there, but I guarantee there's people over in the big Hilton over at Jonesburg, the George James Hilton. I kid George about that. The big jail over there. There's people that woke up over there this morning with their head buried in their hands, crying. Now, the food, they've changed that a lot in jail. If you haven't been in a while, they've changed it a lot. They have to treat you a little more humane. It ain't because of the food. They have pretty good food. And they got cameras everywhere now. They can't beat you and rubber hose you like they once did. You know what I mean? They have to treat you pretty nice. Why are they crying? Because they got caught.
Amen.
They're not sorry for what they did. They're sorry for getting caught. The shame is not in the fact that we're rebuked. The shame is that we sinned in the first place.
Amen.
And then he brings a reasonable question to our minds. He says, don't you understand the blessed fact that you are bought with a price? Wow. Do you understand that before a man finds himself condemned before God, he's not worth turning. My biology teacher taught me back in high school. She was teaching and she had a chart that she hung in front of the class. And I believe at that time that the human body, if rendered down, trace minerals and all the different chemical makeup, that the human body was worth like $1.76. Well, things of inflation got hold of, you might be worth $5 an ounce. But here's what he's wanting us to understand. As long as we're feeling pretty good about ourselves, we're worth about $1.76 to $5, somewhere in that price range. But then all of a sudden, the dear, sweet Holy Spirit convinces us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
And then we begin to try to figure out how to be washed clean again. And ladies and gentlemen, there's not enough money in all the world. If you had all the gold in Fort Knox, and I understand it's not much anymore. Pardon. But if we had all the gold in Fort Knox, it wouldn't buy back one sin.
Amen.
It's committed. It's recorded. It's against us. God knows all about it.
Amen.
And so once we find ourselves condemned, all the money in the world can't buy us out.
Amen.
All the intelligence in the world can't work it out. All the beauty in the world can't offset it. We find ourselves in the need of a Redeemer. Nothing else will do. When the children of Israel was down in Egypt, listen, they needed a Redeemer.
Amen.
And God sent them Moses. And he's a typology of Christ who came to buy us out and lead us out of our bondage. And so he said, don't you understand? You have been bought with a priceless, priceless gift from God. You've been redeemed. If that's a fact, and I believe it with all my heart, that I was bought with a price there at Calvary. If I was bought with that price, and I couldn't redeem myself, and someone came and redeemed me to himself, then do I walk away scot-free?
No, you have consequences.
You see, when you can't go your own way, when you can't go your own way, I'm amazed at some of this bail they sent. I mean, how in the world would they ever, they'll set a man's bail at $1 million. Folks, there's very few folks that can muster $1 million bail.
Amen.
So the only hope you have is for one coming in who has $1 million, that loves you and thinks enough of you to bail you out.
Uh-huh.
Now, folks, when you get bailed out, if you've never been there, bless your heart, it's not a good place to be. I stood on my tiptoes because everywhere I looked, I could see cooties. At least I wanted to get out of there without lice. Well, it ain't that funny. I had hair then. I mean, I had a place from the lot. You see a cootie on me, it's homeless. Amen.
Yeah.
Ain't that funny, John? You still got a lodging place.
But listen, when someone came, when someone showed up and said, we'll get you out.
Oh, let me tell you, you were eternally my friend.
Amen.
I owed you big time. Jesus left the gates of glory and came all the way to an old rugged cross and there took my place, pushed me aside, and said, Gary, I'll do your bail. I'll make you free. I'll go in your place.
Amen.
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 Right.
Amen.
And so I was bought with a price.
Amen.
And it was a priceless gift of God. Now, he goes on and he brings up the consequences. He said, now you've been bought and you're no longer your own.
Yes.
Right. What a privilege to be bought from condemnation, being passed from death unto life.
Amen.
I was on death row.
Amen.
I was on death row. I'd already been tried, found guilty, and a sentence passed that I must go directly to hell without passing go and without collecting $200.
Amen.
Wow. On death row.
Yeah.
And Jesus came and saved my unworthy soul. And as he did, he brought me out of death row. He didn't just take me back up to the main prison. He took me all the way out the gate.
Amen.
That's what it is. Amen. He took me outside. He said, if he's made you free, you're free indeed.
Amen.
You can go home.
Yeah.
Amen. You can go anywhere you want to. While you're inside, you don't go very far.
That's exactly right.
Well, there's a privilege. I mean, my goodness, the shepherd has come, and one of the sheep was lost. and he went searching for that lost sheep, and I was the lost sheep, and he came and brought me back to the fold.
Amen.
But with that privilege comes responsibility.
Amen.
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 I didn't realize this as a teenage boy. I didn't realize this. My dad was proud of the family name. And I was doing a lot of things that was dishonorable to the whole family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My dad tried to sit down and preach to me. You know my thought? But Dad, you don't understand. I'm a man now. And I want to do my own thing. Mm-hmm. I'm the average American teenage boy. Uh-huh. And I have a right to do my thing.
Yeah.
And he would remind me, but Gary, the price of being an American and being an Edwards comes with a great responsibility. To make your homeland and your family proud.
Yeah.
I didn't want to hear that. You know, David, I didn't want to hear that. I had too many plans. I had too many goals and too many dreams. Well, back before I ever heard of Martin Luther King, I had a dream. Amen.
Amen.
It was big. Born in Five City, it was big. Really big. And I didn't want anybody. I didn't want anyone raining on my parade.
Uh-huh.
But let me tell you something. When Jesus came and went to the cross, I remember crying uncontrollably in my study one evening. It's Easter time. I was preaching on the cross. And I came to those last words of the Master on the cross. And I was looking desperately. You see, before you're going to understand what I'm talking about, I've got to understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm never going to get you to see if I can see it.
Amen.
I'm sitting in the study, and I read Jesus' words. It's gone. I didn't get it. Because at that point, I'm a pastor, but I still hadn't really, really got it. And I'm sitting there in my study, and I looked up on the corner of my desk. I had gotten through the mail that week. It wasn't a Sun Trust then, it was Hamilton National Bank. I had went down and bought myself a new pickup truck. 4 years earlier. And for 48 months, I was tearing out coupons and sending them in. I looked up on the corner of my desk, and there lay a letter that had come in the mail. My wife had placed it there from Hamilton National Bank. I'm glad they used the language. It just had to be a doctrine. It just had to be. I opened the letter early, and I remembered
a few weeks earlier, I had tore up that last cucumber.
Mailed it away.
And opened that letter up, and there it was. Title deed to a pickup truck.
Amen.
And I read the letter, Brother Fred, and said, "You're finished. Here's your title deed. You're finished." And I jumped out of my chair and began to wave both arms. I said, "I get it, Master. I get it." When he cried out from the cross, he said, "It's finished, dearie. God is now satisfied with payment in full for your salvation.
Amen.
You don't never, ever have to do anything else. It's paid for.
That's right.
Amen.
It's finished.
Amen.
I've never looked at that again. That makes goosebumps stand only 3 tiers high this morning. It's finished.
Amen. It is.
And oh God, if it's finished, help me understand. With the privilege comes a responsibility.
Amen. That's true. It does.
Of walking like a son.
Amen.
I quit calling him Lord a long time ago.
It's nice.
When I finally figured out, I serve.
Yep.
It's a master.
Yep.
When I pray, I say master.
Yes.
When I read, I want to read about my master.
Amen.
So I don't have advice that I once did. I have the responsibility.
Amen.
You know what he said? To bring glory. To bring glory. To the Lord Jesus. Well, sure. Sure. That's the least I could do. Now, I understood about my earthly father, and I closed with this thought. I understood very well what it took to leave my dad. My earthly dad. I understood. There were some things that put a little smile on his face.
Yeah.
And a lot of things that caused him to wrinkle his brow.
Yeah.
And point a finger at me. Just shake his head. Well, I've read enough about this book and about my Lord Jesus. Well, I know that he said, "Gary, there is some things that you need to flee, because it will jerk you down into a swirling sewer of sin."
That's true.
"And cripple you spiritually."
That's true.
"Until you can't be a glory to me, to my church, or to yourself."
Amen, that's true.
See it coming? Believe it or not.
Right.
Because it's as dangerous as a lie.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to proclaim to the world. Open. Under new management.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to live for the Lord Jesus. Not easy. Not easy. But it's the most rewarding walk in the world.
Amen. It is.
Yes, sir. You're here this morning. You know not the Lord Jesus. This is the time to be saved. Not asking you if you have become religious. Not asking you if you've been baptized and joined a church somewhere. I'm asking you if you had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. Have you come to a place that you understood that you were condemned on death row, headed for hell? And you cried out to a merciful Master and and said, I come with nothing to exchange. Faith the whole is all up.
Yeah.
And I ask that you forgive them and say,
yeah.
You haven't done that this morning, you lost. Yeah. You're how religious you are. I'm going to ask you to come. Give the pastor your hand, the Lord Jesus, your heart. If you're here and you've been saved and you realize that you've been wandering through life trying to do it, Bud Pate sent me an email a while back, and he said he believed that the national anthem of hell was I Did It My Way.
Yeah.
That was one of Frank Sinatra's hits. Elvis came along just before he died. Elvis Presley's last hit was I Did It My Way. Well, he did, but he went home early, didn't he?
Amen.
Well, let me ask you something. Are you tired of trying to do it your way? Put on a sign this morning. Open under new managers.
Amen.
I'm going to live for my King Jesus.
Amen.
If you're here and you're not following the Lord and believe in baptism, doors open waiting for you, membership. Whatever the call to service, whatever it is, we ask you this morning to come during the invitation. You know, Master, right now in the quietness of this moment, as every heart ponders, not who's looking, who's here, who's asking, but just ponders the fact that I've been bought with the price. I'm no longer my own, but I am a servant to bring glory to the cause of Christ. In Jesus' beautiful, holy, and matchless name we pray. Amen. Would you stand? Would you come? I want you to be first this morning. Lead to Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, WindsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.